welcome to show number 36 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing great out there. We've got a lot to talk about today, and I think I say that probably every week. But today, with all my heart, all my ounce of every bit of my soul, I truly believe we actually got quite a bit to talk about today on show number 36. Got a lot of product to cover. We're going to cover Topps American Heritage, exquisite basketball, which is flying off the shelves at this point, and the Jordan Legacy sets, which are just kind of a set, not to kind of spoil it, but not something probably worth buying, but we'll talk about them, and we'll see what those are all about. Lots of other things going on in the sports card world. Topps and Upper Deck battling it out for exclusive rights. Topps getting the Major League Baseball rights effective January 1st, and Upper Deck getting the NCAA exclusive license. So we'll talk about those kind of things, how that's going to affect the hobby, how that's going to affect cards, maybe some of the values, maybe some of the kind of things going forward. If these are the kind of trends that are getting set now, what's going to happen down the road? So we'll talk about a little bit of that. Got some great emails this week, tons of great emails, and some good posts on the fan forums. Ironically enough, the Cornwell family on our forums at sportscardradio.com said, wanted to know a little bit more about hot packs. And a couple days later, I actually got an email from Daniel, who's actually selling his cards. And if you go to sportscardradio.com, eBay, auctions, and his article is going to be right at the top because I just added it, Mr. Dan Mann's eBay auction. So check him out. See what he's got to offer. He's just gotten into selling. So we're definitely willing to promote people that just putting their feet in the door on eBay. That's what we like to do. Spread the love. I think eBay's good. I think eBay's a good service to use. You can get some nice cards on there. The selection is always good. You just got to make sure you know what you're doing. And if you're starting out at selling, it's just a long process. It's a long grind. It's a lot of trial and error, and probably more error than, you know, successes to begin with. But eventually you start getting the groove of it, and your feedback and things like that start paying off for you. So check him out. But they both asked me about hot packs, and we actually talked about it. I think it was show number 13. You can check on the website. I'm not exactly sure. We talked about them a little bit there. And I also wrote a really good article while you're on sportscardradio.com, checking out Mr. Dan Mann's eBay auctions and checking out our show number 13 about hot packs. Insider hobby tips on the left-hand side. I actually wrote an article a while back. It was for eBay, and I kind of just put it on the site. And it was actually one of my – it's actually the highest-ranking article I have on eBay. I think almost everybody, all but maybe four or five people, have found it very helpful. So check that out. It's on sportscardradio.com on the left-hand side, Insider Hobby Tips. Tells you all about hot packs, how you find them, and all that. But we'll be going over all of that today. But it's pretty cool article. Give you probably, I'll probably forget half the things I wrote in there. So it'll be a good summary of maybe what we go over later on today. So we've got all that. I've kind of briefed it for you, but that's all the tease. That's what we do in this first maybe 5 to 10 minutes. We tease you, and then we go more in depth about it. We talk more about it, all the different angles in terms of being a collector and a seller, because that's kind of what it's all about. You may not sell your cards all the time, but hopefully you get some cards over the course of your collecting career, so to speak, that you might want to sell because they're big value or they're hot and you want some money and you want to maybe go buy something else, try your luck at an exquisite box of basketball that came out this last week. So maybe some things like that happen. So it's all about selling. It's also about buying. And so we'll talk about the boxes that you can buy this week. Right after that, this is recommend this song. I play music that typically I enjoy or typically I find enjoyable, and not that this song is not enjoyable, But I will preface this that it was recommended on the fan forum by my girlfriend, Annie. This is for her. Hopefully you all enjoyed. We'll be talking about the box release plays that come out this week. Down just three products this week, basically. And if you're a basketball fan, you get two of them, and not much else. But we definitely will have more in this coming week, so we'll have another show here in the next few days covering what's coming out in this coming week. But this was kind of a recap of what came out last week. 2009 Topps American Heritage American Heroes Edition. You're gonna find presidents, astronauts, all kinds of, like, heroes, I guess, in quotations, in this. 24 packs, 8 cards per pack, 150 card base cards. I was looking at the next line. This is, you always got to think ahead in this business, and sometimes you cross over your words, as I'm sure regular listeners know. 2 hits per box, and it's a combination either 2 relics, I don't know if you'd call them jerseys. Some of these are going to be like suit cards and astronaut, like spacesuit Apollo mission cards. That's pretty interesting. And you could get some cut signatures. Obviously, their biggest hits out of this, there's cut signatures, I believe. Don't quote me on this. Don't run out and buy a case on this knowledge. But I believe there are cut signatures of all presidents in this. So you're going all the way back. It seems like there's a product every year from probably every manufacturer, that especially Topps, that come out with a product with every cut signature from every president. Like Oval Office did it, American Heritage I think last year did it, I think SP Legendary Cuts sometimes tries to do it. I mean, how many I know there's a lot of signatures out there, but boy, they get their hands on a lot of this stuff and they put it in these cards. And that's good for you. If you're buying these and you hit one of these, it'd be awesome. So there's going to be cuts of those. I believe there are case hits. It's obviously not going to be a president cut, but there are case hits and things like that. So not an interesting product. You're going to pay in the $80 range for this, especially right in the beginning. But you'll want to see what kind of hits come out of it and do that kind of analysis. $80, if you like this kind of thing, kind of non-sport, kind of American Heritage kind of thing, might be a decent set. It's actually one of the better sets that come out that's kind of a strictly non-sport kind of thing. So, and it is from Topps, and you get a chance at a cut signature from any president, which, I mean, I don't know how you could be disappointed. Any president, I know that forgive me, any Jimmy Carter fans, but I know his signatures aren't quite as collectible as some of the other ones, obviously dating back to the older ones, Lincoln, Washington, Roosevelt, all those guys. Quite a huge hit if you happen to get those. On to our next product, the awesome product. I love exquisite basketball. Can't say that I've ever had the pleasure or the opportunity to open a box of this stuff, but I've seen my fair share of YouTube video box breaks, and we'll definitely be putting these up on the website in the coming weeks. Exquisite basketball, one pack, the one pack wonder, one pack, 5 cards per pack, 1 autograph rookie patch per pack. So you're getting one really nice hit, even if it's a kind of a soft player, whatever, you know, like a Warriors, not necessarily a Warriors player. I hate to dig. Being a Lakers fan, you got to be cautious of digging other players, because normally most people just hate the Lakers, so I don't want to come across as a bad Lakers fan, but, and I hate to hate on the local Warriors. I really do actually like them, but their rookies tend to be soft. I'm not speaking of Stephen Curry, but in this, you're not going to find any Curry rookies. And you might not at all, but kind of going off on a tangent. We should stay focused on exquisite basketball because this is one of the premier sets. And we should highlight this by saying this might be the last exquisite release for basketball ever. And it might be it's one of the fading exquisite brand. The exquisite brand might just fade to football. Now, obviously, I say might because all these shady rules, and we'll talk about the, maybe I should have done this segment second, but we'll be talking about all the shady lines these exclusive deals produce, and I'm sure you're familiar with them already. But it is worth pointing out that this could be the last exquisite basketball set, and it could be, and it probably is, one of the reasons why prices of this stuff has soared. It's like $600, $650 and up for a box of this stuff, at least right when I was looking at it. It was very expensive, probably because there was some speculation and maybe some, you know, some well-educated speculation that this stuff could be loaded because Upper Deck obviously is producing a lot less basketball now, and they need to get rid of some things more than likely because some products may not fit. Maybe Panini will sign some exclusive deals and Upper Deck's not going to be able to put, you know, whoever, an Allen Iverson autograph in their product anymore. So those kind of things might happen. So there is some speculation that this set might be loaded up. And so we'll have more of that news. Can't really tell from the early breaks. You got to give it like 3 weeks, I think, to really tell if it's a loaded product or not. Sometimes the early hype is just people that pull some really nice cards and they're the only ones that are showing off their hits. You kind of got to get the 3 to 4 week pull on this. Although at that point, most of it's dried up and the prices have definitely moved up. But if you're going to buy this stuff, I think you would have bought it already because it's $600 plus. It's expensive stuff. But back to the rundown of the product. Again, one pack, five cards, one autograph rookie patch. So that's some good stuff right there. One other autograph. You're going to get another memorabilia or autograph card. One base card, which are not throwaways. Those are usually at least $20 to $30 cards sometimes. And one additional auto memorabilia parallel or base card. So they really left it open. And these are hand collated. So that means they're put together by hand. They have all the cards in front of them. More than likely, they have all the really superstar hits off to one side. So if you get a Michael Jordan 1-of-1 autograph, don't be shocked if you get two base cards or the base card is your extra hit. And I'm sure you wouldn't even care at that point. And it also means that you're not, more than likely, I can't say not for certain. There's nothing for certain in life, and especially with these card manufacturers. There's nothing for certain, but chances are, unless it was some kind of special pack, you're not going to get the Michael Jordan autograph and the OJ Mayo exquisite patch rookie card. Now, obviously, there might be a box out there with that in there, and I hope they filmed it and put it on YouTube because that would be an outstanding box. But chances are, if you get a really big rookie autograph, and by big, I mean one of the big guys, OJ Mayo and those kind of guys, you're probably going to get an extra base, or you're probably not going to light it up the rest of the box. But that being said, with exquisite maybe coming to an end this year, you might see some stickers thrown in there, some extra parallels, some extra cuts of jerseys that they had laying around that they were going to use, that they might have had planned to use this whole year, but now had to load up into one product. So it's interesting. Exquisite basketball this year will be a pivotal year. We'll see what happens going forward, not only with the Upper Deck brand making basketball cards, which will still happen, definitely, but what kind of turn exquisite will take, because I think going off the success that more than likely will be this year's release, they'd love to carry that over into this coming year in some way, some fashion, some form. They'd love to carry it over. So we'll see if they're able to do it. This is the last exquisite, at least in people in their pro uniforms and those kind of pictures and things like that. So we'll see what they do with that set going forward. But if it is the end, it's sad to see it go. Although people like me without jobs can't really afford that stuff anyways. Jordan Legacy box sets. This is our next set to cover. Not much to cover here, to be honest with you. 50 cards, one jumbo card per set. Don't pay more than $15 for this. And I think if you wait, you'll probably be able to find these for $10 and less. And there's one of one autographs. It's only hit. Only reason to open it up is maybe to have one of one autographs. But they're on the jumbo card, so supposedly there's probably only 10 of them. So there's going to be thousands upon thousands of these produced. There's only going to be 10 Michael Jordan autographs. This is a set you buy and you put on the wall. You don't open this set. You definitely don't open it. Just leave it sealed and hope that whoever does open it one day, the Michael Jordan autograph is in there. But if you want to play a nasty game of box opening roulette, you buy two and you pick one to open. That's just my call on it. These unopened sets, I like to leave them sealed. And one and done. These rookie Upper Deck rookie premier football. I don't know if they still do this set, but they normally did the set. And sometimes you get autograph. I think it was one autograph per case. Sometimes worth opening, but normally not. Usually just worth paying your $10 and leaving it in the case and just holding on to it. But it's up to you, obviously. But nothing too special there if you're a Jordan fan and you know you're a must super collector. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I totally knew we had a lot of things to talk about. I knew I was going to forget something. Super Collector, we're also going to be talking about that. That comes from an emailer, Allie. I want to appreciate the emails I got. And one of the questions was, being a super collector, kind of the things that go on in there, that's a tricky subject. There's no fine line definitive rules, but we'll talk about super collectors as well as hot packs, mixing in a little bit of storing your cards and things like that. Also another question from Allie. The Topps exclusive with the MLB and the Upper Deck exclusive with the NCAA and the Collegiate Association. We're talking about that after this. This music selection comes from Dr. Phil on the sportscardradio.com fan forums. Tony Braxton, gosh, I can't remember, Say You Love Me Again, something like that. You guys will remember it. The reason I play this song, believe this was the popular thing to sing my brother's freshman year in high school. And that is all for you right now. Apologize. The only version of that I could cough bootleg from the internet, the wonderful world wide web, was the instrumental version. So appropriately enough, I could hear my brother and his basketball team singing in the background to that. So hopefully you enjoyed that, a little karaoke style right there. But maybe that's what the download's for. Karaoke style. So we are back. Lots of good things to talk about here. I mean, we're just beginning here. We're going to be talking about hot packs in a little bit. We're going to be talking about becoming a super collector and not only the immense work, but the amount of money and all those kind of things that it takes to become in that ballpark. And along the way here, we'll be talking about storing your cards. There's some interesting things that Allie brought up in an email to me, so we'll talk about that. Topps exclusive with the Major League Baseball. This is a big story. We got Topps signing a multi-year agreement with Major League Baseball to become the exclusive manufacturer of baseball cards. That's right. That's the old 86 to Upper Deck. Oh, man, that's got to feel bad on the way out. Now Upper Deck has gotten it in the face or the rear end or wherever you want to put it two times. They got it from basketball. Now they're getting it from baseball. Tops ends up on the right arm of the stick, or however you want to say it. I don't even think that's a saying, but they end up on the right side of this deal. We'll see what happens here. There's a lot of interesting things. That's only the beginning of the story, and the beginning makes for great radio. I love these kind of stories because this story is great right now, but trust me, this is only going to get more interesting. So you're lucky that someone like me puts in the time to do a podcast and we can talk about all the interesting things. Number one on my list is that Upper Deck still has an agreement and re-signed an agreement with the Major League Baseball Players Association. So Major League Baseball, which basically owns kind of the teams and the logos and kind of the things that are associated there, but the Players Association holds the rights to the faces of the players. Now, that's not necessarily that important in football, because believe it or not, you wouldn't recognize a majority of the football players just walking down the street, aside from them being bigger than anybody you've ever seen. You probably wouldn't recognize their face. That is not the case in baseball. You know exactly what Derek Jeter, you probably know what Derek Jeter looks like more than you do your own wife. So, I mean, Derek Jeter's a good-looking man, but I hope you know your wife's, I'm sure you do. But aside from that, that's a very interesting thing because that allows Upper Deck to produce player cards with these guys' faces on it. No mention to the team. There can be no mention. I don't believe that. I could be wrong here, but I don't believe something like the New York Yankees, that falls on the Major League side. No mention of the team, any team logos, anything like that. But yes, you can slap Derek Jeter's mug, anybody's mug that's playing in baseball that's part of the Players Association, which as of a few years ago was every baseball player but Barry Bonds. I don't think anybody's doing the old holdout thing anymore, the old Michael Jordan holdout. But that's a very interesting thing going forward, because what will Upper Deck do? Will they just slate their old normal releases and just pop player faces in there, go out and get headshots of all these guys, and so we see the same four headshots they captured of these guys throughout the year? Or will they try to be a little less creative and only come out with a handful of sets that tastefully puts these guys bust on all these cards? We'll see what they decide to do. That's very interesting, though, because it allows them to, I think a set like Exquisite would definitely work under these kind of things where they can only produce a headshot. They're only produce a set like Exquisite, you know, kind of the higher end stuff for Upper Deck. I don't know if they make a lot of money, and this is an interesting topic we might talk about it maybe on today's show, but definitely down the road. I don't know if these companies make that much money from these high end stuff, but the fact that you can have mugshots, that'd be great for high-end sets, because you're only going to have a 100-card base set or a really limited base set. You're only covering the best players in the game. You could probably affordably go out and put a set where you can definitely get pictures of the top 100 players in the game and more than likely get quite a few of their autographs. I mean, they still have, they're not broke at Upper Deck, so they'll be able to get these guys' autographs and more than likely their jerseys. I don't know if their jerseys fall under this whole Major League, exclusive Major League thing. I don't know if that's property of Major League Baseball or if it's property of the player. These are all things that I'm sure lawyers for both these companies are absolutely sitting up probably at this moment, loving life, racking up a bill, trying to figure out these kind of things. So we'll see what happens going forward. That's why I love these stories, because it's going to make this podcast extremely interesting going forward, because you not only have this deal, but you have the basketball deal, which is effective, I think, October-ish, right around the start of the basketball season. That's why you're still seeing really Exquisite Basketball, for example, still gets released, because there's some grace period and there's some time. For example, this baseball deal goes into effect January 1st, so you'll see some Upper Deck products. We'll see what they do in terms of loading things up, if they have sticker autographs and things like that. More than likely, they're holding on to those. They're still going to make cards at Upper Deck. They're not broke. They're not going out of business. They're just going to have to change what they do. They're more than likely, hopefully, these companies, in the face of this rough economy, decide to hire people and maybe get some more qualified people in the business that can change these guys' game plan, because they've been running the same ship for several years now, and they're going to have to change quick. So I don't know if the people in place, maybe they have the people in place that can do it, but Upper Deck is going to have to change ship. Tops, on the other hand, now has a really nice little cushion. And a lot of it has to do, they're owned by Disney. And I've dug into the, Disney is a public, obviously one of the more popular publicly traded companies, because it's a company that everybody knows. So if you're not into picking stocks and you don't want to do a lot of research, Disney, AT&T, GE, Microsoft, among others, show up at the tops of the list all the time. Now, they break down their cards. They bought Topps, I want to say a year ago, year and a half ago, not too long ago. Topps was its own separate entity. They had a publicly traded stock ticker. You could put your money in their bank account if you felt like it. But they got bought, and they got bought by Disney, which is a mammoth company. We're talking billions of dollars. It's always funny. Side tangent here. It's always funny listening to conference calls. I invest in a lot of small companies, so a lot of the time it's millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, that's tons of money. But they talk about it, and that millions of dollars, man, when they make $1 million, they're happy at these kind of companies. Then you listen to Microsoft and Google and all these big companies, Yahoo and all these companies that are absolutely enormous. And the B word, and not the four-letter word you guys think I'm talking about, but the billion-dollar word gets thrown around. It's so crazy that it's just billion-dollar, billion-dollar, billion-dollar. So Disney is one of those companies that their conference call is full of that billion-dollar word. So they tend to group things together, and they group their entertainment segment together, which falls under Hannah Montana, which is absolutely enormous, and cards get thrown up in there. So it's very tough to see, unless you were an analyst and you maybe had ties and you could maybe make some phone calls and things like that. Someone like me and the common investors not going to be able to see what the Topps brand exclusively makes for them. Now, it may be something, I'll have to listen to a conference call. You can call in these things. And it's something I might end up doing. I might end up calling them whenever they have their little conference call. If I can get through, a company like this is probably pretty stacked on those calls. But if I can get through, I'd like to ask them, what is that top? How do they segment Tops? And more than likely, they'll give me the answer that they don't give out that kind of information. But it'd be interesting to find out if they actually make money on this brand. But long story short, that's more than likely why they got the connection with the MLB, because such a big company like Disney, they make movies, they're in with TV, they're in with, I mean, Disney's a huge company, obviously. I mean, the Hannah Montana brand could be in its own stock symbol of its own. And you got all the Cinderella, Snow White, big company, they own the Topps brand. That's what probably led them to the MLB, because there's some other connections, I'm sure, at work there. Anytime you're in big business, there's always more to be had. It's not that they make the best cards, and they make great cards, and so maybe it is all for the better that they have the exclusive license. But any player logo cards from here on out, anything with Jeter, anybody, any baseball player within their jersey, in game action especially, is only going to be made by Topps. So that's important. If something like that is important to you, that's something that you want to keep in mind. Stats is another thing. This is another gray area. I know stats are also handled separately. I'm not sure if that's by the players or by the leagues or by someone all separate altogether. So that's another thing. If you want stats on your cards and things like that, Topps might be the way to go. And we'll see. I know that baseball wants them, like basketball, to tighten up their releases, not have a new release every week and just kind of have diminished the value of things, you know, because over time, we've seen it with any hot trend, from the snap bracelets to slinkies to anything. Once it becomes kind of overpopulated, prices tend to come down on things. You see it on iPhones. I mean, in smartphones, those were like $500, $600, $700 phones. They're still really expensive phones, but the price has now come down to that the $200 level, where is the opening price. And in a year, year and a half, 2 years from now, it's going to be $150 or $99 is going to get you the top of the line iPhone. So prices come down as things become more popular, more fashionable, and more competitive. Now, the argument is if you came up with less products, say you only had 12 products to buy from, those products become more competitive, and the demand and the supply is a lot less. So you get a more competitive buying atmosphere with less supply, maybe drive prices up. Another thing behind all this thing, I think this is all PR, and I've seen lots of posts on forums, and a lot of this was spun by the suits at Tops and Upper Deck and things like that. Something about kids, you know, getting kids involved in carts. And I'm not trying to say that that's not important. I believe getting kids involved in cards is really important. But it's kind of a natural progression. It's just like anything else. It's like rock music, you know. I mean, how many four-year-olds do you know listen to rock music compared to 13-year-olds? But then compare those 13 to 28-year-olds to 49 and 50-year-olds. You know, it's the same thing. There's a generational gap, and the same thing happens in cards you normally collect early on. A lot of kids, especially if you're into sports, you're definitely going to be exposed to cards at some level. Obviously, people take their collections to different levels, and their enthusiasm and interest in the hobby varies. But then it tapers off. I've gone through it myself, although I've maintained a relationship with the hobby one way or another, whether it was selling on eBay or working at a card store or just, you know, being on websites and things. I've always kept my finger on it one way or another. But typically when you go to college or when you get into those high school years, you tend to lay back on it. Other things, video games, girls, cars, lots of more expensive things. Those three things, yeah, that's a lot of money. Girls, video games, and cars. That's what you're probably going to spend half your net worth on in your 20s. So cards tend to get pushed back. But then when you're in your 30s, maybe when you have kids, you have a young one, or you just start having more money. You know, if you're single and you're in your 30s and you have a good education and you did well in school and you got a good job, you're going to be able to afford to buy pretty nice cards. Because I know we throw the $600 product out. That's really expensive. Someone like me, someone, you know, my age or younger, that's a lot of money. You know, $600, that's about my rent. So that's a lot of money. But if you make a lot of money, a couple grand a month, and you're, you know, not living like crazy Mercedes-Benz and, you know, five bedroom house, $600 might not be that much money. So it's a competitive marketplace. Those kind of things happen where you get a little bit too much supply, too little demand, and all those things kind of play into effect. And these companies want to get kids involved, but it's all about making money to them. And so we'll see if all that holds through, whether they try to get kids involved. The kids really don't have the money. Like I said, there's a generational gap, and you have parents that get into it later on in their 30s and 40s when they do have more money. And they do have extra money to spend on these kind of things. They get back into it because they have younger kids that are now hitting that age where they are into cards. So it all comes full cycle. That's why I think these companies shouldn't have to worry too much about getting kids involved, because you have this huge, huge generation in the 90s that are about my age, that are getting close to, you know, the age where you usually have kids and you start families. We're at that age, or we're already at that point in our lives. So we have a special connection with cards, because my generation especially really collected cards heavily, probably more heavily than any generation ever. I mean, in the mid-90s was some of the, you saw card values explode across the board, from basketball to football to hockey to any kind of cards, like Mortal Kombat cards, Desert Storm cards. There were cards for everything. They all went up in value. They all sold. So we'll see what happens. That's why I don't think the card companies have to be worried so much about attracting the kids. And I know that they were in their press releases. That's all they kind of were talking about. But in the back of their minds, they know all this. I mean, I say this on a podcast, but more than likely, at least I hope, these companies already have people smarter than me that already know this, that already know the next generation of collector is already waiting in the wings because they're my age and they're just getting back into it. I get countless emails. And these are some of the best emails. Whenever I read these emails, I'm like, wow, this is like, this is probably the reason why I did this show originally was to either get, I realized if you listen to a sports card podcast, you're into sports cards because it's like listening to a gardening podcast. I love gardening. I'm not saying anything about gardening. I wish I lived in a house where I could get out in the yard and mow the lawn and trim the trees and plant new plants. I love that. I love it. But to some people, that's boring. That's work. So listening to a gardening podcast, only people that are thoroughly interested in gardening are going to do something like that. So I realize that with a sports card podcast, more than likely you're going to be a pretty, you know, serious collector or somewhat serious collector. But I get several emails from people that collected in the past, collected when they were a kid, whether it be 10 years ago, 20 years ago, sometimes longer than that. And they say because of the show, because of listening to some of the things we talk about this, hopefully we spur some ideas and spur some other thought going to some other websites and going to our website or wherever you might go. You know, they've gotten back into the hobby. And so that's what it's all about. I'm really happy that our show has contributed to this. And I know that these sports card companies, Topps and Upper Deck, know this. They know that people my age are going to get back into the hobby. And there's tons of us out there. And only a portion of us have gotten back into the hobby. And it's only waiting to happen. So maybe these exclusive deals, Upper Deck signed an exclusive deal with college NCAA. So they'll be producing college cards, which take you back even further since rookie cards tend to, we know all the blurry lines with rookie cards, especially in baseball with the parentheses and XRC. We've gone over this in a, you know, show not too long ago. These lines are blurry. So there's lots of different things that these card companies can get around. They can make prospect cards, you know, a Tim Tebow college card. These cards are already out there. They're worth lots of money. There's lots of other players, you know, that could be making cards of right now. Greg Oden college card a few years back would have been a great card. If they can get him to sign it or they can, you know, get a piece of his jersey, that'd be even better. So some of these college coaches that are really held in high regard in these states and cities that they coach in, great jersey pieces and little suit pieces or hat pieces. I'd love I forget the Ohio State coach's name, but the little sweater vest. Ohio State fans would eat a card like that up. I'm sure one's already out there, but, you know, an exclusive college deal for Upper Deck might be a good thing. They're going to tap into a market that hasn't been touched very much, and that always spurs excitement in the hobby when somebody touches on something new, especially a industry leader like Upper Deck getting into college cards and, you know, college athletes and collegiate kind of things. So very exciting stuff. College sports, not really the global thing. It's really a domestic thing. So they're going to have to do all their focus on the United States. But Topps baseball is huge in some Japan and some of these other countries. So we'll see what happens with Topps. A great deal for them. Whatever they had to fork over for that probably will make money for them. I think that was a great deal for them. Going to come out with some really nice cards. Baseball is Topps is probably where it's going to be at. It's where you're going to be comfortable. Upper Deck's going to give you something new, something you haven't had before. So if you like those kind of things, those are two different personality types usually. So you're going to have your choice. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, how many products Topps produces, how many products Upper Deck produces. Again, this goes into effect January 1st, so you won't see too much of a change before then. Keep an eye on Upper Deck's products leading up to that. It'll give us a clue. Well, obviously, we're going to keep tabs on it on this show, but it'll give us a clue on what their hopes are and what they're going to be putting on future products. So we'll talk about that going forward. Beautiful segment. That probably went on quite a bit. Like I said, a gardening podcast, you better be hardcore gardener. Sports card podcast, that's what this sports card show is. You better be hardcore collector, because that was some hardcore sports card knowledge right there. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. This next segment will probably be equally enjoyable. We'll be talking about hot packs, topic I know and love very dearly. Know quite a bit about this. Growing up working at a card shop when I did, this was a extremely, extremely hot topic. Much hotter than, no pun intended, much hotter than it is today. Kind of all started right when I was working at a store. It was a while ago now, 10 years ago. So we'll talk about hot packs, buying those kind of things on eBay. Might not mind getting overtime, because this might push through multiple days of work. Hopefully you enjoy this segment on hot packs. This comes from the Cornwell family in the Sports Card Radio fan forum. Over at sportscardradio.com. And Daniel, who sent me an email, the Dan Man, Mr. Dan Man, excuse me, Mr. Dan Man eBay auction. So check those out. Support them. See if he's got anything that you need. You can see his auctions over at sportscardradio.com as well. But hot packs, just if you don't have any clue what a hot pack is, basically, if you say you get a box of, we cover Topps American Heritage today, you get 24 packs per box, 8 cards per pack. We said you got 2 hits, so 2 out of 24 packs have this pack in it. The 2 out of 24 have a jersey card or an autograph card in it, excuse me. So 2 hits. So those are referred to as the hot packs. So out of those 24 packs, those 2 are the quote unquote hot packs, because I guess they're hot in some way or another. If you had some kind of temperature gauge, because they have the jersey or autograph in them, that makes them hot. So now you know what I'm talking about. Those are hot packs. Now, how do these guys on eBay come up with these hot packs? They guarantee you, if you go to these auctions and just search hot packs on eBay, you'll find, guaranteed hit, all these different sets. Some of this stuff is one, you're going to get like an SP game use set. You're going to get an autograph in every pack anyway. So it's technically every pack they made out of that whole set is hot. So how hot it is, we'll talk about that all in a second. But how do they find these cards out of these 24 packs if there's only 2 hits and one's an autograph and one's a jersey? Obviously, you think with a jersey card, you've got usually a thicker card. the jersey piece weighs a little bit, not a whole lot, but it probably weighs differently than a normal card. And obviously you have these dupe cards, and I guess that's what they're called, or there's other things I think people call them, but they're usually four-letter words. But those kind of help a little bit. However, now, at this point, some people might say, why do you give this information away? At this point, I have a top-ranking eBay review. I put it on my website. I've read this at other places. I believe Beckett has actually published things like this in their magazine in the past. So I'm not the first, and we did it way back on show number 13, probably about a year ago, or maybe not quite that long ago. So I'm not the first to talk about these kind of things, so I don't feel uncomfortable disclosing how this is all done. More than likely, it's done on a digital scale, and not necessarily the $20 one, especially if you're trying to weigh the autograph. Although the autographs, it would be tough. I've seen products, sticker autographs can weigh out. If you have a high-quality digital scale, I was in a science class not more than a month ago, and they had awesome digital scales in there that were ridiculous, weighed out to like 4/1000ths or whatever. That is, it's probably about $1,000 scale, and I don't know if these guys use quite that type of sophisticated equipment. But for $100, I think bare minimum, you could get a very decent scale that will be able to weigh out things to most accurate, especially something with 24 packs in it. You're going to be weighing out all kinds of things, and you're going to be able to get a base kind of weight. And then once the jersey card comes across or the autograph card, that tends to be lighter because just they tend to make autograph cards thinner, or they have the sticker on them. You get less cards. There's no dupe card sometimes in there. So those kind of things go on. So there's some weight difference there, and they can pull them out with some regularity. Now, don't go out, run out, and go buy a digital scale and start busting everything open and selling your hot packs on eBay thinking you're going to make money. I really highly doubt you can make money doing this. The only way you can make money doing this if you had a relationship with another vendor that were going to buy your unopened packs and buy them knowing that there was nothing, more than likely nothing in them. And you may be able to find someone like this that vends them out of vending machines or something, sells them at flea markets and things like that. Be the only way you could turn around and possibly swing a very small profit. We're talking razor thin profit margin. If you tried to do something like this and make money or even break even, my guess, and believe me, I'm not telling you this. If this made you money, believe me, I would tell you how to do this. I would tell you exactly how to make money doing this, and I would tell you my eBay auction name and show you that I'm doing it, because it's not illegal. What these guys are doing is not illegal. They're not doing anything illegal. How moral it is can be argued, and it will be argued in the hobby world. However, if this made you money, I'd tell you, but it will not make you money. I can tell you, not from experience, but just from basic, just knowing, seeing countless of boxes open, not going to make money doing this. There's absolutely no way. You'd be lucky to break even. Thing is, it's very tough doing this. Selling your unopened packs and doing things like that, not necessarily an easy thing to do. You'd be lucky to break even doing it. I think you'd have a better shot at just opening those packs and selling the hits you got out of there. You might have a better luck doing that and then selling the unopened packs to a vendor on eBay or wherever you want to sell them. That probably would be the better route if I were to recommend somebody to try something like this. But I definitely wouldn't recommend it. And definitely if you're trying to make money, don't do it. If you want to cut corners in your collection and save money, here's the better route. And I believe this is the better route. And this kind of all ties in. Should you buy these packs? And I'm not going to tell, like I've said many times on this show before, never going to tell anybody not. I'm never going to tell anybody what to do with their money. You know, I've suggested investing your money in the stock market. I did that in November of last year. I think I was probably one of the few people in the whole world telling people to do that. I suggest things sometimes probably a little stronger than I should or a little stronger than other things, but I'm never going to tell anybody how they spend their money. So if you want to buy hot packs and it's something you enjoy doing, be my guest. If you found somebody that you've had some success with, please be my guest and buy the hot packs. However, you got to be careful because these guys are sophisticated. These guys aren't just back alley guys. These guys are collectors. These guys more than likely have a collection and do they more than likely know more about sports cards than the average collector. And when the pack comes across that weighs, say they have a whole case of this stuff, and all of a sudden they get one pack that's just outrageously thick, more than likely that's not going in the, you know, the 20 auctions that they list that night. More than likely that pack is being opened and the card inside is then being sold, because more than likely those kind of, I've seen quotes from Upper Deck and Topps, we can't hide the quad barrel patch card or whatever, you know, just the ridiculous one of one hit. They're not going to be able to hide that. Even with dupe cards and all kinds of things, if you're weighing packs out, you're going to be able to figure that out. It's not too hard. And if you're lucky enough to open that kind of box, it's going to be pretty easy to tell. Anyways, these manufacturers want to provide those hits. So are you going to be able to get a hot pack and find a one-of-one Babe Ruth quad bat barrel card? More than likely not, because these guys are going to be able to tell those kind of patch hits, and that's why you got to be careful. There's a difference between kind of a plain jersey patch and then ones with the actual colors and logos on it. Those, I mean, those are heavy. That's pretty heavy stuff right there, the little patches and stuff. Those definitely show up on scale, so you got to be really, really careful with that. If you're getting a lot of common jersey pieces and things like that when you're buying, more than likely the patches and things like that are getting weighed out of that. So you've got to be real careful when you're buying these packs. The better way to go, more than likely, is just saving your money. Obviously, under $10, really, I don't think you can lose here. Under $10, you're going to pay, you know, a couple dollars for most jersey cards, especially if it's of a newer set, 2009, 2008. You know, even if it's not a very good player, a cool player, I've used this term before, currently out of league, cool player, those cards still sell for a, you know, at least a dollar, $1.50, somewhere in that range. So under anything under $10, if you have a chance at getting something halfway decent that might be worth, you know, the $10 to $20 range, $25, $30 range perhaps, might not be bad for $10, whatever, you know, it beats going to the hobby store and buying $10 worth of packs and getting nothing. So I can see the attraction there. Anything over that, I really think you're better off just saving your money. Because if you bought, say if you were planning on, if you were just planning on buying one pack, two packs, it might be whatever. But if you're planning on buying these long term, I think it'd be better just to save up $40 or $50 and then buying an ultimate collection pack or buying one of those kind of like triple threads or even like a mini box of like Topps Finest, which actually was I put on our recommended products page. I revamped that on sportscardradio.com. Pretty cool page. And there's some rundowns of athletes and boxes that I find particularly interesting on that page. So hopefully you have a chance to check that out. But Topps Finest Baseball, heard a lot. I didn't, obviously, you guys know it. I don't have a job. I'm not opening this product myself, but I do read a lot of opinions on these kind of things. Topps Finest got very strong early reviews. People were pleasantly surprised. Buying a mini box of that, not going to run you a whole lot. Not going to run you, you know, it's about the price of a mid-range price box. But you're going to get the same chance at getting a decent hit out of there. Same with, I like UD Black. I'm not exactly sure how expensive that is, but kind of these one pack deals where you're definitely going to get, you know, kind of in a box pack kind of formation, you know, a mini box, kind of like Ultimate Collection, Absolute Memorabilia, I think is portioned out that way in football. There's all kinds of packs where you do get that nice hit, and it tends to be packaged in a way where it's even more difficult to weigh it out because it's in a box and things like that. And there are a lot of nice autograph hits in there that are more difficult to weigh out. So that's what I would do if you're really looking to spend decent money on these. I'd much rather get a sealed Ultimate Collection or something of the more mid to high premium stuff that was in the per pack version. I'd rather see you go for something like that. Hopefully that gives you a little insight to hot packs. Like I said, I had some experience with this back in the mid-90s, late 2000 or early 2000s when I was working at a card store, because this was before dupe cards. I remember before dupe, you know, this is almost like before cell phones. People are like, what are you talking about? But card companies, there was no such thing as a dupe card, and the jersey cards were obvious. You'd open up a box and you could stack the pack sideways, and if there usually in those days there was only one hit per box, and it was easy. That I mean, the pack, they didn't take out one extra card, so if there was six cards per pack, there was still, you know, instead of five cards per pack with a jersey, there was still six cards with an oversized jersey card. I mean, you could tell with the naked eye. You didn't need to feel it. There was also a term called feeling the packs, where you kind of bend, where you kind of grab them on either end and kind of bended them. I don't know if bended it is a word, but you kind of bend the packs. That was kind of a way of telling. But these days with the dupe cards and things like that, and the way they do the packaging, like a triple threads packaging and things like that, helps out in a way, but nothing's going to get past that really nice digital scale. So you got to be careful about this. Got to be, you know, this is a great topic if you're into buying these packs, but it's also a great topic if you're not. You got to be really, really careful about buying boxes. Boxes can be weighed the same way as packs can. So you got to be really careful about that. Companies try to do their best to control this type of thing. Think you can rule out products like Exquisite and things like that because of the heaviness of the box and things like that. The particulars of being in a wood box, I'm sure there's some discrepancies there with weight as it is. So it's going to be tricky to tell with those kind of products. So I think you're fairly safe there. Although when you're spending that kind of money, you got to be careful. But you got to be careful with anything. Anything you buy from any sports card dealer, anybody that you don't necessarily trust, you got to be careful. So, you know, just something you want to keep in mind. It's like anything. Driving down the street can kill you like anything else, but we all do it without even blinking an eye or really even thinking about it. So sports cards, don't let it ruin your day, ruin your image of a hobby, or ruin any past experiences that you have. I think that's really important with collecting baseball cards. You don't want to get discouraged. You don't want things like this, topics like this, to really get you down. You just want to kind of take them in stride, realize that they happen, and feel lucky that you're aware of them, because not a lot of collectors listen to such a fine program like this, but are aware of things like this that go on. So it's just something that you want to keep in mind when you see that too good to be true price from maybe not a seller you recognize, or, you know, a reputable seller. You might hopefully bring this thought up in the back of your mind, and it might give you a clue to what's going on there. So hopefully that helps you out. Again, I'm not telling anybody how to spend their money. You spend your money on however you want. And if you enjoy these kind of things, if you enjoy getting a hot pack and knowing exactly what you're getting, for the most part, you're getting, you know, if you were to go to a hobby store and buying a fresh box, you could buy 22 packs and have 22 duds, basically. Not that the cards in there would be you know, duds. There's plenty of base cards and serial number rookie cards and, you know, parallels that are worth a lot of money. But the hits that a lot of people are after are the jersey cards and the autograph cards. So if you're a fan of getting guaranteed hits like that, might be the way to go. Just be careful. know that more than likely the really super one-of-a-lifetime hit is not going to be in that pack. I would bet my whole website, for whatever it's worth, in this podcast, that those guys know when those packs come across their scale, and they weed those out. Those somehow get opened, and you'll find that single card on probably their separate eBay account. So just some things you want to keep in mind. After this short break, I'm going to grab a glass of water. That's the beautiful thing of this. We can take a break. I can refresh my throat. We're going to be talking about Super Collector. Don't know a whole lot about this. But we'll kind of combine these two from an email that I got. Storing your cards. We'll slip that in there as well. And we'll probably wrap it up. This is a deep show. This is probably going to be our longest show. Show 36, there's probably tons of athletes, great athletes that wrote War number 36, but didn't get a suggestion on the fan forum. Don't feel like doing a Google search, so we'll just slip that segment out of there. In between this break, forgot to mention, you can see all the reviews that we did on American Heritage, Exquisite, the Jordan Legacy box set, as well as articles on the Topps exclusive deal and Upper Deck's exclusive deal with NCAA. You can head on over to cardinformant.com as well to find information, the sell sheets, all kinds of cool stuff going on that site, as well as sportscardradio.com. In the meantime, surf those sites. Here's some tunes. We'll be back.
Believe in shooting stars, but she believe in shoes and cars. Wood floors in the new apartment, couture from the store's departments. You more like love to start shit. I'm more of the trips to Florida, order the hors d'oeuvres, views of the water, straight from a page of your favorite author.
And the weather's so breezy, man. Why can't life always be this easy? She in the mirror dancing so sleazy. I get a call like, where are you? Super collector status.
But those that have achieved it or come close to that status definitely would know more about this subject than I would. I'll definitely delve into it a little bit more and probably write an article. Once I know more about this, I'll write an article and probably talk a little bit more about it on a future show. But just basically kind of a rundown of what I know about Super Collector. Super Collector basically means you've picked more cases than not, you've picked a player. I know there's the Super Collectors that I know, Mark Brunel, apparently, forgive me for not knowing these people's names or where to find them, but Mark Brunel and Eric Chavez, two people that I know just off the top of my head that I've seen their photo buckets and things like that, that have a large, large percentage of these players' cards. Now, normally that's how you're judged. However many cards they have, you have to have a certain percentage. Obviously, some players like Albert Pujols and Michael Jordan. How many Michael Jordan cards are there? Imagine trying to be a Michael Jordan super collector. So many one of ones, so many autographs, so many legacy sets that have 50 different cards in them. Ridiculous amount of cards. I mean, you'd have to be Warren Buffett to think about trying to be a Jordan. He could definitely do it. Warren Buffett could be a Jordan super collector, and it wouldn't even bother him. It wouldn't even bother his bank account. But he's in a whole nother world, I guess. But becoming a super collector of, say, Dennis Rodman. Our listener Allie said Dennis Rodman is the player they want to become super collector of. So Dennis Rodman has quite a few cards, and you've got to get apparently about 40-50% of his cards. So it's interesting that, that's quite a feat. You're looking at 2,000 plus cards. And so it's quite a feat, but it's you know, it's compared to Michael Jordan, who has probably, I don't know, I have no idea how many different Michael Jordan cards there is. I want to guess upwards of probably 50,000, maybe more than that, but I want to say that's probably somewhere in the ballpark. There may be way more than that. I'm not really sure, but I want to say probably somewhere in that range, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. So to become a super collector, then what do you got to get? 25,000? Probably not, because 25,000 cards would fill a decent-sized house. So it's a little less for big-time players like that. What the percentage is, it's very hard to say. It probably depends on the kind of collection. If you have a large, say, out of those 50,000 cards, only 4,000 are autographed by Michael Jordan. I'm sure the number's way higher than that, but we're just throwing out numbers here. Say you had, you know, 300, 400 of those individual autographs, you had 10% of his available autographs, that'd be a huge percent. That'd be really nice. So things like that play into becoming a super collector. So it's pretty tough. Obviously, you've got to be on eBay quite a bit. You've got to make friends with that. Another site I've come across, and you can go to sites we like, probably one of our most popular, some of our most popular websites. Interesting for me to see. Occasionally I go through and look at the stats, see what pages are the most popular pages, without surprise whatsoever, more than likely due to like search engine traffic and things like that. The Topps Allen and Ginter preview that I put up in the sports card directory, that's our number one page, and I think I've only had that up for a month or two now. And we've had this site since, I think, January or maybe even a little bit before, maybe December, something like that. So for it to be in a couple months, become our, aside from our homepage, obviously, become the number one hit on page. I think over 600 hits on that page. So that's pretty good in a couple months. So that's our most popular page. Second most popular page, the Joba Chamberlain or Jabba Chamberlain. I always say Joba, but I think everybody else is Jabba Chamberlain. Rookie card Rolodex page that has, I think, I don't know how many people have hit on that. Quite a few, probably another search engine thing, probably have gotten attached to some keywords on that. But if you want to check those pages out, obviously people find them pretty entertaining. If I've had that many people check out the page, those are our most popular pages. But right up there are sites we like, probably due to search engine again, because I've got so many popular sites on there. But Sports Lots or Sports Card Lots, something like that. If you don't know about it, head on over to our website. You'll be able to find the link there. Pretty interesting site. They have lots of pretty cool cards on there. So it's some place you want to check out. Obviously, the whole moral of the story, if you want to become a super collector, eBay is going to have a lot of your cards, but you're going to be able to expand your horizons finding some of these other places to buy, sportsbuy.com or used to be Naxom or something, is another place you can find cards. We know all the places you can find cards. It's ridiculous at this point. So becoming a super collector is tough work, tough. You know, obviously there's a lot of cards that are pretty easy to collect, but there's lots of rare, low serial number or just kind of oddball inserts. Even some of the more common cards that just aren't worth very much, people just don't sell them. It's very hard to obtain these cards. More often than not, you're going to have to buy lots of cards or like large quantities of cards in order to obtain some of these lower dollar singles. If you don't have like a sports card show or like a place that puts out a lot of this stuff. So it's tough, especially someone like Dennis Rodman, who had a lot of cards in the mid-90s. You know, who's selling 1992-93 his Skybox card? I mean, who's selling that card right now? Where can you find that card? More than likely, I mean, God bless eBay. I mean, no offense intended there, but you can get a lot of things on there. It's really good for the hobby. A lot of people don't like eBay, but it really, for single card collectors, it's absolutely nothing better than that site. You can find a lot of cool cards there. So that's a little bit on Super Collector. Another question is, excuse me, sorry about that. I wish I had one of those buttons. We're not, I said my throat was dry last segment. It's when you go on for an hour and you're talking, it gets a little dry. We don't have one of those cough buttons, so I apologize for that cough. I might have to put in a little sound effect for you guys to ease the pain of that. But going into storing your cards, how do you know which cards to, you know, which point card protector you need in order to fit some of these really thick and ultra, you know, thick jersey cards? It's a tough question to answer. You kind of got to judge it by the product you open. Typically mid-grade stuff that has a lot of just kind of those plain jersey pieces where there's not a lot of patch stuff, those tend to be thinner jersey cards. Those fit in a lot of just kind of the one step up top loader. They fit in a lot of Card Saver. I'm a big fan of Card Savers for some reason. Card Saver ones, especially, they're a little bit bigger. It's tough to find a box to fit them in, but they do fit almost any card because they're so big. They do fit really wide jersey cards, maybe not the widest of wide, but they do fit a lot of things, and they're good kind of holders. Like, even if you only have 25 of them or so, they're pretty cool to just kind of have as a holder until you can maybe get that more permanent snap down or magnet case or whatever you're looking to go for on that. If you buy more of the higher premium stuff, it's definitely going to be likely to have kind of these, they're not really snap cases in there anymore, but they're like, you know, they're intended to hold maybe 10 base cards, but you can fit a really super thick jersey card in there. Those are pretty cool if you're buying premium stuff with multicolor swatches and things like that. It's also always handy to have extra thick soft sleeves as well, and penny sleeves, because those jersey cards often nick corners around super thick jersey cards going into smaller sleeves. So you want to have some of the super ones. Also, those super thick storage sleeves are really good for really condition sensitive cards, because they're so big, there's no risk of scraping or nicking the card against the little sleeve. So if you have like a really old vintage card, or just like a black bordered card that's really thin, you know, like some of the old like Bowman, like 1997 Bowman, I think, was like a black bordered card, really tough to put in a soft sleeve without getting a white corner all of a sudden. You can solve that mainly by using oversized soft sleeves. And so you can slide a vintage, if you have like a really brittle or just like a really fragile vintage card that you're worried about sliding into a card sleeve, you can get the oversized ones and they slide really neatly in there. Then you're going to have to get the Card Saver one. It's not going to fit in a top loader or anything like that. You're going to have to get the Card Saver one. There is a difference between Card Saver ones and two. The twos are more the width of a top loader. They fit in a lot of those common boxes. Card Saver ones are considerably wider. They fit, if you had something a lot wider, like a little bit wider card, it almost would fit the card horizontally. They're almost that wide, but not quite. But they fit really nice jersey pieces. Like I said, I kind of use those kind of as the catch-all. But if, you know, I would just gauge it on the kind of the style product you open. If you open up a lot of cards that contain a lot of really thick jersey cards, load up on some of the more thicker, you know, whether you use the snap cases or those kind of plasticky cases, the top loader or the Card Savers or the magnet cases, whatever you decide to go with, you know, load up on that stuff so you don't ever get that really nice hit and don't have something to put it in. You don't want a really nice hit sitting out, because that's just begging for the Slurpee to be spilt on it, or for the dog, something, you know, something that you wouldn't want to happen to that card, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime hit. So get it protected right away. That's why it's good to have these kind of things on hand. That's one of my recommended, if you go to recommended product page, you'll see that's one of my recommended products, some Ultra Pro protectors. There's some good price. If you go to eBay, if you go to Sports Card Radio, I have a little link there that takes you right to Ultra Pro, and you find all the items super quick. Pretty cool. Good stuff there. So that's a little bit on storing your card, a little bit on being a super collector. Hopefully that helps you out, Allie. And thanks for everybody that emailed me this week. Daniel, there was lots of you. Gosh, I wish I had my inbox pulled up here, but there was lots of you on. I appreciate all of you. Thanks for everybody that's on our fan forum. We've got contest. I meant to bring this up at the first of the show. Definitely, like I said, it's one of those shows that Was kind of jumbled. I had a lot of things to talk about, not a lot of things written down. A lot of this was off the top of my head, as you probably could tell. But definitely something that should have gone in the first half of the show. But this is for all you listeners that stick out an hour-long show and listen to every word. Contest, we had Niner for Life on the message boards. Great listeners contributed quite a bit via email and on the fan forum as well. Sent me some cards, totally unsolicited, these kind of things. You know, I totally mean for this to be a free service, free everything. You know, it's not meant to really make any money or anything like that. And I don't ask for donations or people to pay for this. Heaven forbid you'd have to pay for this. But sent me some cards, sent me some very nice cards. I've put a preview up. This is what they call teaser in the radio or the entertainment business. Two of the cards I have for contest immediately on our fan forum. So head on over to sportscardradio.com. Both of the one's an autograph and one's a jersey card, and they're both serial numbered less than 25. So head on over there if you want a chance at winning one of those two cards. I'm going to tease it for you now. We'll probably talk about it on another show, but I think it's better to just tease it. Head on over to sportscardradio.com, find the fan forum, and you'll see how you're able to win those. Also, check the show discussion link at the top. There's a contest section for contests, once you see the fan forum. You'll see we don't have too many. Design, we don't have too many like sub forums and things like that. So you'll be able to easily see contest, find that. You'll see probably the newest post in there will be our new contest. You'll be able to see these two cards, both of them serial numbered, less than 25. So if you want a chance at getting them, one's an autograph card, one's a jersey card, head on over to the fan forum. But Niner for Life sent me a lot of really nice cards. So one of them being a Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, and a Peyton Manning triple jersey patch card, number 17 of 75 at a UD Premier Football. So that's one of the gems. And I put four of them up there kind of as a sneak peek in the show. Just you'll find that link on the fan forum as well. Kind of as a teaser, I want to show you that. But a lot of this stuff we'll definitely talk about on the show. One of the prize pieces is actually a Letterman autograph card. So there's going to be a letter. We're going to be giving away a Letterman autograph card on this card, autograph rookie card on this show as well. Another patch rookie. We've got all kinds of very, very nice hits here. Several patch jersey cards, several autographed jersey cards, several very low serial numbered jersey cards, an autographed Super Bowl ticket card. I mean, we're talking some very nice stuff. And I want to thank Niner Fan for helping the show out. We're going to be giving this stuff away. Hopefully, you guys will all have a shot at winning this. We're going to do some things for longtime listeners, people, you know, I don't blame you if forums and those kind of things are not your thing, but we'll have people that are kind of loyal to the forums, and I really appreciate that. So we'll give some things away maybe exclusively there, exclusively to new listeners, new members, and maybe some of our old-time listeners. We'll kind of mix it up a little bit, but definitely expect a lot of cool contests like this going forward. Thanks to Niner Fan. Really appreciate it, and I'm sure all our listeners that will have a chance at getting all these really nice cards will appreciate it as well, and it will help the show, because I am shameless. When I got things to give away for free, I'll Twitter about it, I'll blog about it, I'll do whatever. I'll be sending emails. More than likely, you guys will also be getting an email if you've contacted me in the past or a fan forum. I don't try to spam anybody up. It's just the ones that I've got saved or just the ones that are kind of near the top of my inbox might get an email as well to kind of remind you that these are free cards. Free. Some things aren't free in life. A lot of good things aren't free in life. And cards, patch, jersey cards, and things like that definitely are not free in life. So it's good. We have a nice stack here to give away. So hopefully a lot of you will participate. If you have people that you know that are interested in the show, always looking to do that. One of my goals this year, not only to do this show a lot more regularly than I do, but it's to expand our listener base. And it's only for the enjoyment of the listeners that we have now, but for the hobby as well. I think the more listeners that we have, the more people tend to probably go out and shop for sports cards or tend to, stay in close with the hobby. And I think those things are good. So hopefully we'll be able to do that years. One of my goals, aside from doing this on a regular basis, once per week is what I want to do it. And I'm going to do my best to do that this month. We are definitely on target as of this point. So hopefully we'll be able to do those shows regularly. Hopefully with these cards and other things that we do down the road will lead to even more listeners and participation and all kinds of good stuff. So you got all that to look forward to. I don't know how many hour and 30 minute plus shows you have to look forward to, but this one has come to an end. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Head on over to sportscardradio.com and cardinformant.com as well to feed your knowledge only more. You got those mandated. I don't know, every state has this law, but California has laws where you got to get mandatory 15. You get your lunch, you get your hour lunch. I think if you work 6+ hours, but I think for every 8 hours you work, you get 2 15-minute breaks. So even if you have a desk job, that means you can pull up sportscardradio.com and the fan forum and do all those fun things in the meantime. So take a break from what you're doing. Spend some time with us over the weekend. Throw some posts on. Become a member. Send me an email. Remember, we get more spam than a grocery store unless I approve the members. So go ahead and sign up. Go ahead and log in. Sign up. Do everything you need to do at the fan forum, your name and all that kind of credit card number, because I take that and I have expensive trips in the Caribbean, as I'm sure our existing members realize. Obviously, I'm joking. But do what you need to do and then send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email with your username and I'll approve you right away and you can get to work on the contest that we have going. Well, once I start making jokes and trying to become a comedian, it's probably time for the show to end, and now is time. I am out of here. Hopefully you guys enjoy your weekend, whatever it might be at this point. Hopefully you've enjoyed this very long show. I've enjoyed it. I'll talk to you guys later. Good luck with your collections. You'll hear from me next week. I am out of here.